Welcome to Sports Foul Mouse. This is year 2022, the Qatar World Cup. I have Sammy Fursaro the third.
That's me.
.com. Okay, so Sammy Fursaro. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Should I roll the R's?
You don't have to.
Okay.
My father does that, so you don't have to.
But no SF3, like nothing with the RG3 tone to it.
I can work that. I wear cool socks too.
He wears cool socks. So Sammy Fursaro the third. Cool sock wearing guy, local bar owner, and loves MLB and other stuff. Hey guys, before I get started, let's go ahead and do a word from our local sponsor, Red Bull and Red Bull Zero. Lightly carbonated, served chilled preferably. If you serve it warm from Ralph's, not recommended. Sammy drinks, actually, its competitor, Monster.
I dabble in the Monster, yes. Monster and Rockstar. Red Bull would actually be my third choice, but...
So that's a terrible sponsorship on our part, but, you know, they're not paying us yet, so that's totally okay.
Yeah, but I still agree. It is delicious, but just not as delicious as the other two.
All right, guys, so let's go ahead and get into it. We want to cover a lot today. We want to cover the NFL, the National Football League. We want to talk about Roger Goodell's antics, some of the things that have transpired in the last 4 to 6 weeks. We're talking about the MLB because it's the middle of the World Series. I don't even know. Did the Giants win again? Is it 2-0?
The Giants are up 2-0 in the series.
Yeah. 2-0 in the series.
2-0 in the series. Game 3 going on right now.
Yeah.
In Detroit. Obviously a huge game for the Tigers. I think they're still in this series.
Verlander pitching today?
No. Verlander's going to pitch Game 5. It all depends on what happens in tonight's game. But I really feel like it's always a series until the road team wins the game. So... Tigers win tonight, I think, and it'll be 2-1. You never know what goes on. That's why they play 7 games.
That's right, and I don't know a ton about the MLB. I just know that they play for a long fucking time.
Yes.
They play for way too many games, and hopefully they'll get cut down to like an 82-game season, and then we can all watch baseball and actually enjoy it. But as far as the World Series goes, who do you think is going to take the series?
I really think Detroit still has a shot. Realistically, I think they will win. People underestimate. I know, you know, obviously the Giants have an intense home field advantage up there in San Francisco with those fans and those that atmosphere. The same thing goes for Detroit. Some of the most old school, honest, true fans in all the sports across the board, hockey, football, college sports, baseball.
It's really all they have up there, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's really, there's not much.
And they have 8 Mile, the movie, with Eminem.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
That last rap by Eminem, by Rabbit, I should say, is amazing.
Bunny Rabbit murders it. But yeah, I mean, I know Detroit. I didn't go to Detroit, but, you know, the Seahawks had to play a Super Bowl and a home game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Jay knows that I have an issue with that whole game and how we had to play there. But if you think Detroit still have a chance, like, guys, you know, put some bets out there. Take advantage of that potential upside of Detroit coming back and winning a couple.
I would, yeah. I mean, obviously when you have a horse in the stables like Verlander who could possibly pitch 2 more games, you never really know. It's just about winning that one road game, which they're going to have to do, obviously, to win the series. But that being said, you know, obviously tonight looks like they're getting things going underway pretty well here, bottom of the first. But they got a man on, one out, and, you know, got to... win this game, of course, and go from there. But I did see one of the most amazing things in my life when the Red Sox were down 3-0 and beat the Yankees 4 straight games. But I don't think that will happen ever again.
I lived in New York when that was going on, and it was amazing to be in Manhattan and watch, like, because there's a ton of Boston people in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah.
And so every bar you'd think would be, like, mostly New York people, but it would, like, be entirely split.
Yeah.
So just so it was basically, like, you know, being in a home city with two teams from the same city. Probably more Red Sox fans live in Manhattan than Mets fans, I would say.
I think so.
Just
I mean, obviously, Manhattan's such a diverse city, but it's so, for the financial world and everything like that, there's so many people that work in both cities, Boston and Manhattan. And, yeah, there's a lot of, I've experienced both that. I've been there for many Red Sox-Yankees games in New York, and Boston represents itself well in New York.
So, big Boston Red Sox fan. I don't even talk about baseball because I'm a Mariners fan. To be honest, what we should talk about is the NFL because it's in full swing.
I agree.
We are actually in a fantasy battle right now. We're playing toe-to-toe or head-to-head. And
Dougie Martin.
You kicked it off with getting Dougie with it. With what, 40 points he scored on Thursday?
40 points in our league.
To be honest, like as a fantasy guru, I think it's a big shift in adding these like Thursday games to fantasy strategy.
It's crazy.
It really impacts, like, obviously, like I liken it to the fact that, like, in college football and overtime, you know, like when you get the coin flip, you want the other team to go first, right?
Yes.
So you know what you've got.
Exactly, you know it.
But like but with fantasy, like you've played him, like Doug Martin, for Thursday night, and it's such a big hit for you. And then I add Vincent Jackson and Percy Harvin. Like, your strategy completely changes because there's already points on the board.
Exactly.
So I have to play it based on like three players having played versus if no one had played at all.
It's unreal. But that's the thing, is then you want to play, you feel like you have a good matchup because you have someone on your bench who's good. And you're like, going against, they're at home, and you want to play this, and you want to play the guy and get the points that you think they're projected to get, and this. And then you're stuck with a 4-point receiver or a 3-point receiver, and you can't make a move then. The strategy is intense. I mean, obviously, adding that Thursday game, like you said,
dictates who you might play risk reward wise, like come Sunday, because like I think it was a few weeks ago where Mendenhall had a really good Sunday game, and I just picked him up, and then I played him in a league on Thursday, and he hurt his Achilles and he was out.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, I'm expecting pretty good numbers from Mendenhall, and he gives me like 1 point. So now my strategy for Sunday is like I've played like Steelers D and Mendenhall, and I have like 6 points total. So now I need more like high risk guys that could score a lot or zero.
Exactly. You need someone who's going to,
because the other guy had zero,
2 touchdowns.
Exactly. But if I had scored well, then I would play it more risk averse, and like it would be a little bit more safe. Play someone, you know, I know if it's a PPR league, someone's a little more safe, like a Lance Moore or someone like that, versus like a guy that can just be a big hitting touchdown guy.
Exactly.
So think about that, guys. Think about the parallel universe of college overtime and Thursday games, and then Roger Goodell maximizing revenue by just piling on the NFL games. And I will say, like, I wonder how much it impacts like the economy. For you have a Monday night game, you have a Thursday night game, you have Sunday. So you have basically 3 nights of NFL football, or a full day on Sunday, and Sunday night football, Monday night football, and then Thursday.
And basically, and as a bar owner and manager, it's fantastic because people are out watching the games. And a lot of people still, weirdly enough, hint, hint, Roger Goodell, a lot of people still don't have the NFL Network.
Right.
So people sometimes have to go out to watch the games, which is, I love it, and it's great, and it's good for business.
Right.
But it's now, the NFL really is, for 17 weeks, and the playoffs, it's a full week every single day.
So awesome. So basically, Roger Goodell not only is increasing the number of injuries in the NFL with the players as they get hurt because they have to like play on Sunday and somehow like get hit 30 times, carry the ball 30 times if you're a running back, and then boom, step in the game 4 days later when they're supposed to be like resting up. On top of that, he's creating alcoholics across America.
Because what?
No, is he not? I mean, if your bar's filling up more often because the games are on and people actually can't stay at home on Thursday night and watch must-see TV and, you know, Friends and all those hit shows like The Cosby Show. Yeah. Aren't those the shows that people are watching right now?
I have no idea. I fall into the category of someone who watches sports every single day of my life, and that's about it.
So you're like me in respect to the fact that, like, I will watch an entire game of football and then watch SportsCenter right afterwards and then watch the highlights of that same game.
Yeah.
And you're like, I just saw that entire 3.5-hour game, and now I'm going to watch highlights of the same game.
Exactly. I'll watch highlights, and I'll watch the, you know, I'll listen to the perspective of the analysts and the perspective of the coaches and then the players and the reactions. And yeah, it fascinates me. But like we're talking about, it's a week-long, everyday thing.
What's crazy is like one of the, just to bring a little pop culture flavor into all this, is like, for instance, if you watch The Walking Dead or not, it sounds like you probably don't. I'm a big fan. I haven't watched anything, so don't spoil it for me, Sammy. All
right. I have no idea.
Basically, like, The Walking Dead, the zombie show, had the biggest cable rating of all time. It was like 10 million people, right, watched it.
Really?
Which is unheard of. Like, even with The Sopranos were on, like, they would get just 2 or 3 million people to watch that show on HBO.
Wow.
So you think, and part of it's a little bit the fact that I think AMC is, you know, more widely, you know, something that people get with their network package. But like 10 million people watch this zombie show, and with The Sopranos, it was like 2 or 3 million people, and I'll bring it all together, like an NFL game, like a Thursday night game, they'll get like 15 million people will watch that.
Yeah.
So like on a Thursday night, just think of how that impacts like all this TV programming. And now dudes, instead of watching whatever it was on a Thursday night, just the NFL just crushing them, like ratings wise.
Yeah.
And just like, and well, then yeah, so you're
smart. When you have one of the most lucrative businesses in the world, I think, and there's not many American companies that are like the NFL.
But the crazy thing is, there's not an international angle to it like there is with the NBA.
That's what I don't understand, why he's forcing these games in London and forcing these games, like trying to go into different markets. It's already failed once with NFL Europe. I don't really think like the intrigue. Who really knows or cares that they're playing at Wembley Stadium, the Patriots and the Rams tomorrow? I don't think anybody does.
They're playing tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Because tomorrow is Sunday. Right. No, honestly, I was trying to figure this out because, and I don't want to make this racial, but I've been watching games, and obviously, like, a ton of European players play in the NBA now. Like, that's what's drastically changed, right? Yeah. Like, that's why the Olympics are more competitive, kind of, as far as, like, U.S. versus everyone else. Like, there's some teams can, like, Spain can actually compete. But I was trying to think about, like, there's no real international players, right? Like, you don't have a Yao Ming, you don't have a Jeremy Lin, you don't have a Paul Gasol in the NFL. Like, you just have these big, giant white dudes and big, giant black dudes, and then, like, a bunch of other role player guys. But it's not really, like, a universal game as far as, like, talent goes, just for how big and giant you have to be to play.
Yeah, it's really not. And it's, you know,
it's not really a skill game in that regard.
It's so unique. Football really is such a unique process from peewees to the NFL. There's literally more preparation than most sports, and you have to. The teams are bigger because of different plays, and they're now the different packages and the different styles of football. And in most countries in the world, the economies can't support that. It's
right.
Why, it's why
the space and the equipment is required.
Exactly why, in my mind, hockey is a dying sport, because
I don't know if it was ever alive.
Yeah, right.
I mean, honestly, I mean, no offense to you Canadians out there, but like, when was it? I mean, Miracle is an amazing movie.
Yeah.
And I would put it in the top five of best, like, but granted, like, that's about the Olympics, and that's a true story.
No, hockey fascinates me, but that's the thing. It's like, you have the kids, most of the countries, I don't mean to get off track a little bit, most countries can't, you know, like, the people and families, it's tough if you have three kids to get the sticks, the skates, the pads. The ice time, you got to pay for the rink, and you know that's why soccer is so, and this soccer is so worldwide, is because you need the field and the ball. Realistically,
right. Same with basketball.
Yeah,
like, create a hoop or have like
a hoop, you can create a hoop and go.
Right.
With football, you need the pads, you need the field, you need the refs, you need the flags, you need the balls,
you need the replay booth.
Yeah, you need the replay booth.
Right.
You need the concessions.
Yes, you need a lot with football. You need to have doctors on site to handle
doctors,
all the concussions.
Concussion specialists. You need Mike Ditka.
You need the Bears. But yeah, it's seriously.
But that's why we love it.
It's a ridiculous sport, and you know why a lot of people don't really get it or watch it. I mean, think about basketball. Like, it's a simple concept, right? Like, you're either getting a two-pointer or a three-pointer. But you watch, like, football, like, there's so much shit going on.
There is.
It's like, you get three downs, and you have to punt it, and you're, like, trying to pin someone in. There's so much strategy, and there's, like, all these pauses, and, like, you can, you know, there's one-point safeties, Sammy. Did you know that? Did you know you can get a one-point safety?
I never knew that.
I'm not even going to tell you how. Just Google one-point safety. It's amazing. But you can score 1 point off a safety. Then you have, like, touchdowns plus the PAT. Then you have regular safeties. Then you have, you know, field goals. And then you, like, points on points on points, right?
Yeah, there's so many different ways to score. And that's why, in my mind, and I always say this, two of the greatest creations of mankind are football and baseball. Because they're so unique in the ways that you can score, and they're so unique.
Well, baseball is like, I mean, the point, like, everyone knows, you just have to get home. Like, there's a lot of variations of how you score in the NFL.
But there's like 100 ways that you can get home.
Right, exactly. It's the part.
The NFL and football, you have to get in the end zone.
Right.
But there's 100 different ways to get in the end zone. And right. that's why we watch, and that's why it's such a thriving business, and that's why it's such an amazing sport. And that's why it consumes America. And that's why it consumes us.
I also think there's a lot of processing. Like, when dudes watch it, like, there's, because, you know, there's Madden and all the things. And, like, you feel like you're part of it because you're, like, you play video games or Tecmo Bowl when you're growing up. And, like, after a while, like whether you actually played football or not, or played a video game, or just think that you're smarter than your own coach or the other coach or what you would do, like you feel like you have some sensibility around like what how you would approach it. You know, like a team goes down and gets down to the 9-yard line, and like one team runs it three times, doesn't get in, right?
Yeah.
Another team throws it three times, doesn't get in. Like it's there's always something you could have done differently. That like in your mind that why isn't the coach doing that, right? Or you exactly. have the best wide receiver in your Detroit, like why aren't you throwing to him every time? Or when they do it, you're like, that's so obvious, why did they do that? Like you can always contradict what they're saying or doing.
Exactly. And that's the thing. That's why by being an analyst or having letting your voice be heard or being an announcer, the probability of you being right, there's always going to be someone to second guess you. And that's why coaches are so tough, because there's always that other play you should have called, or there's always that other guy you should have started, or there's always there's always that other option that you didn't do, even though you might come out on top.
Which is like what Jay calls in fantasy football, Mike Martin yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, like
you overthink it.
Right, exactly.
You crazily overthink it with millions of stacks of papers and numbers and
like
different colored pencils and stuff like that.
Exactly. One of my 84 fantasy football leagues that I'm in, way too many. I actually own the entire NFL, so it's like a roulette table, as if I went up and bet every single number with my money and then bet red and black. So there's a point where like you're in too many fantasy leagues. But like it's simple math in my head. Oh, okay, I'm playing this one league. I have Doug Martin. No, I'm not going to start him because I just in my head know that like Minnesota's run D is pretty good.
Yeah.
I didn't even really look it up. I just was like, oh, I'm going to play Lance Moore instead in my flex spot and just sit Doug Martin. Like probably half the guys that played fantasy football chose someone else over him.
Yeah, of course. Because you look at that matchup, it's a tough place to play. And
they're at home, and like in your mind, you're just like, oh, I know this well enough, but then you're just completely wrong because you can't predict the future.
Because we're all experts.
Exactly. But you said that you have, like, we should get into this, is you said that on Saturday nights you kind of go into a little betting routine of, like, your analysis of Sunday and how you pick your bets based on the lines and what you think each team's going to do on Sunday. So what's that little process like?
Yeah, just, I don't know.
To the listeners out there to really understand your thinking criteria behind betting.
I'm not right a lot of the times. And
what's your winning percentage, you would say?
I don't know.
You think you're over 50? I mean, that's kind of important. You're right around 50?
Right around there.
So you're kind of just betting to break even.
Yeah, it's fun.
Right.
It's fun.
You got action on the games. You watch the games. It matters more. So as long as you're breaking even, that's fine.
Yeah, exactly. As long as breaking even makes it fun. You know, we do it with all our friends. We talk. This person likes this team. This person likes this team.
So like, all right. Other so go stuff. On.
But
so
it's all about listening to yourself. So what I do.
So like we're gonna publish this podcast, so we're gonna find out how right you are. So I don't know how much analysis you've done for this Sunday, but what are some bets that you like going into this Sunday?
All right. Well, I haven't done my final analysis.
I don't fucking care. You're probably gonna be better right now than you are when you actually make your bets tomorrow.
Exactly. And so, I should remember this so that I should listen to this.
You should listen again to yourself. You can actually hear yourself talking. If you want, I'll actually take notes and then text you later or something and like send you like a breakdown of what you were thinking.
Yeah.
Now you can compare what you actually do versus what you're thinking right now. So we'll start with Rams and Patriots. I have a friend that's a Patriots fan. Talked to him today. He's like, I really like in my survival pool where he just has to pick the Patriots to win. He's been saving them.
Yeah.
Just been saving them. He's like, we got this. And I go, but NFC West is weird this year.
NFC West is
really unpredictable.
Weird. The Rams have a really good pass rush.
Yeah, great DBs, cornerbacks.
Great cornerbacks. They get in people's head. Jeff Fisher, in my mind, is kind of a borderline, overly aggressive, somewhat dirty head coach.
A little dirty, like Greg Williams?
Yeah.
Ironically, wasn't Greg Williams with the Rams?
Yeah, he was with the Rams, and he was with, I believe he coached under Jeff Fisher before.
Okay. So you think he targets body parts?
No, not necessarily talks about it, but contacts body parts. But what he does is he does do things not that we consider borderline dirty, but smart. That's why he brought a guy in like Cortland Finnegan. Cortland Finnegan plays this game, this psychological battle, where he literally he was voted by the players the dirtiest player in the NFL.
Really.
Yeah, I mean, he gets under people's skin. That's what he does.
But both verbally and, like, grabbing face masks and, like, just pushing guys after the play.
Getting a pass interference penalty for 25 yards, 30 yards may, in actuality, put someone in a position that minute. But then, like, for instance, when Andre Johnson beat the piss out of him.
Right.
Fucking just ripped his helmet off and just started beating him. He got thrown out of the game.
Right.
He took his best player. They took their best player, arguably.
They're both thrown out.
Yeah, they're both thrown out.
Right, but Andre Johnson's better than...
Has a bigger impact on the game. So...
That's like Reggie Evans and LeBron James like getting thrown out of the game together.
Exactly.
He's like, I'll take that every day of the week.
Every day of the week, exactly. But this being said, the Rams, like I said, Jeff Fisher, smart, borderline dirty coach. I don't know if dirty is the right word. I don't want to say that.
Filthy?
Nah, that's...
Sexy?
Sexy, yes. That mustache is epic.
Right.
Again, they're playing in London.
Okay.
At Wembley Stadium. There's no true home field advantage.
It's typically a high-scoring game in London, right? But I remember, like, the Saints...
But they always say, the weather has such a big deal because they do their grass differently and...
But with the people on, like, the kind of the bad teeth in London, like, the people just, you know, in the pub drinking, does that impact anything?
I think the whole just different, you know, like, these guys have so many routines in the cities that they go to.
But they don't really know what they're watching, so when's the cheering happening?
At halftime? That's the thing about it. That's what, like... I think Belichick said, he's like, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit in the...
He doesn't want to play there. So what's the line, and what do you think is going to happen?
The spread is 7.
I think
that's pretty accurate, because the Patriots' defense, their secondary is horrible.
Right. So the Rams will actually score a couple TDs, a couple
touches. Yeah, Sam Bradford's good. I think I'm going to start Brandon Gibson in fantasy this week.
I'm still trying to figure out who that guy is.
I have no idea who he is either, but he's a stud.
He's not a stud.
He is a stud.
He's not a stud.
I love my receivers big, and I like them fast, and I like them strong.
I think you're revealing something about, like, just your tendencies in general, but...
He's kind of a beast.
Brandon Gibson, huh? Yeah. I think he's out in the wire in one of my leagues. I might have to go snatch him up.
Give him a look. I'm going to start him this week.
You're going to start Brandon Gibson?
Yeah. I mean, okay. The Patriots' secondary is horrible.
Right.
They have their best cornerback playing safety because their safety's out. Sanchez threw for 300 yards.
Russell Wilson almost threw for 300 yards.
Yeah, and that's bad.
Three touchdowns.
Yeah. You can't... I mean, they can't stop anybody.
Right. Okay. So...
Obviously, Tom Brady's Tom Brady. He will throw an interception or two.
Have you heard the nickname that Matthew Berry gave Zuerlein? Legatron?
Legatron?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good nickname.
That's great.
So I think they're going to score 20 points on the Patriots. So you figure...
I'm going to take the over on that.
Okay.
I'll take over 20 points. I see a high-scoring game. I think the Patriots will win that game. I like the Rams plus the 7. I think the Rams are a pretty underrated team.
So you don't think that the Patriots will cover that game?
No, not the 7.
So what are you going to bet then?
I'm going to bet the over in that game.
Okay.
I would take the over. I'm going to stay away from that game.
What is the over? Do you even know what it is?
I'm looking right now. I want to say it was 43.
43?
I'm looking.
All right, well, while you look, I want you to take a guess.
47.
47. Okay. Patriots score
4 touchdowns.
The Patriots with 30 points, the Rams with 20. That's kind of how I see that game. I'm going to call the score 30-20.
30-20.
That gives you the over.
Yeah, I said it's what I was going to say.
I don't know
28-24.
They might get a garbage field goal at the end, so that's right where the line is. These Vegas guys or the odds makers are just ridiculous how close they get every week.
They're good.
I mean, the recent one with the Detroit game, like, I was watching it, and I tweeted out, I was like, there's going to be a garbage TD right here. And that so many people are going to fucking hate it.
I saw it happen.
Yeah, I was like, well, it was happening twice. Like, because then they fumbled or something happened, and they lost the ball, but then they pinned him in, and they had to punt again. I was like, there's definitely still a garbage TD at play here.
Yeah.
It was like a 6.5 line. I think the score was 13-7.
So they won by 6.
Right, and just ruined that line. I mean, like, the odds makers are unbelievable. It's like almost like they predict exactly what's going to happen at the very end of the game.
Yeah.
Or the Seahawks game where, like, Russell Wilson in the split when he gets the safety, which I don't really think was a safety, by the way, but, like, somehow it was, like, right at the line of, like, it was a 7.5-8 line, and it pushed it from 7-9 back to 7, and, like, you know, I had a friend that was, like, in Vegas, and he's like, dude, the sports book's going nuts right now because of this call.
$75 million swing.
That's how much that was?
Yeah.
$75 million swing.
That's it. Legal bets. $75 million legal bet.
The Seahawks have been in so many controversial games this year.
I know. It's crazy.
Like, everything that they're doing is controversial.
It's crazy.
Which I love because I'm just so tired of the Pike's Place Market iconic like fish throwing thing. Like, if we can just be in controversy.
Those guys are hilarious, by the way.
The fish.
That's like my favorite trick in the world, when I throw the fake fish. Classic.
What do you mean when you throw the fake fish?
When the guy's working, throw the like the stuffed fish.
Oh, they're not even throw a real one?
Yeah.
When they show the shots?
No. Sometimes, like, when you physically go there.
Right.
You'll see, like, they'll throw, like,
because there was a little controversy of them doing the whole fish
thing.
Yeah,
no, but they'll throw, like, everyone, like, walking, taking pictures of them, but they'll throw, like, a stuffed animal fish in at, like, someone, and someone will freak out thinking it's a real fish.
Oh, right.
Classic move.
Classic move by the Pike's Place guys.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Let me just throw this out at you while you think about some of your other bets.
Okay.
And we also, you know, we can get into this later, but I want to talk about some fantasy, ghosts of fantasy past. I want you to try and guess who the... Yes. Ghosts of Fantasy Past. We'll cover some of the guys like the Mark Bulgers of the world and Ron Dane, who single-handedly won me a fantasy championship in 2006 when Mark Bulger threw 4 touchdowns and Ron Dane ran 2 touchdowns.
Martzing yourself right there.
What do you mean?
Bulger.
Mark Bulger, yeah. I mean, he was like the next year.
Anybody in that Mike Martz offense.
Oh, that's right. But he just had one of those games in a week 16 where he just was just throwing the ball around. I don't even remember.
That was great. He used to throw the ball like 60 times a game.
And then he just like got concussed or sacked so many times. But he just keeps showing up and just keep throwing the
ball.
Plus,
I think, you know, he got lucky there for a while with that little scheme they had going on. He's always been kind of a pussy.
Nice. So this is from some analysts. This is from SI. I want you to try and guess who they think the best running back of all time is. So out of, like, top 10 running backs of all time, who do you think they've got ranked number, you know, we'll give you a little leeway, out of the top 3. Like, throw a name out there that's definitely in the top 3.
Throw a name, Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders, number 1. Well done.
Yeah.
All right, so give me a couple more that you think are in the top 10 of all time.
Top 10 of all time. Jim Brown.
Boom, that's number 3.
Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, Walter Payton.
Okay, you've already covered the top 3.
Emmitt Smith,
now the 4th. You're doing really well. So it goes Barry Sanders, Walter Payton, number 2, Jim Brown, number 3, Emmitt Smith, number 4. So now you have 6 more spots. Who else is in there?
And this is the
I'll give you a hint. One of the guys that's in there killed 2 people.
Oh, OJ.
OJ Simpson.
So yeah,
right.
My question was.
But he got away with it.
He got away with it.
He's acquitted.
And that story about him selling that knife is unbelievable.
Recently?
Yeah, he's selling the knife.
He's
selling the knife that he didn't kill.
What do you mean he sold the knife?
No, he's selling it on the internet. Look it up. This story is fantastic.
I think Kato Kaelin did it.
That guy's a sick fuck.
He's a weirdo.
He probably did it. He probably did it. Didn't even know. He was like on some crazy ass coke binge and just murdered somebody. He didn't even know.
I heard that it was potentially OJ's kid. Someone said that, like, I don't even know how old his kids.
His kids are like 10 now.
What's sad is that he was so good. Wasn't he in the Naked Gun movies?
Yeah, he was amazing.
Yeah, he was so good in that. But apparently he's good at acting, right?
Yeah.
So if he was good at acting, good in the courtroom.
Naked Gun training, acting training videos.
Yeah. All right, so you got O.J. Simpson. You got a few more spots here. Who else is in this top 10? Juice is loose.
And what's the actual list again? It's the most...
Best running backs of all time. We're not even talking fantasy here. Just like pure running back awesomeness, you know?
Okay.
Guys that murdered it, unlike O.J.
Unlike O.J.
Not the literal sense of murdering.
Yeah. Let's see who's up there. Who else? Thurman Thomas?
No, not Thurman Thomas.
No.
Too many fumbles.
Too many fumbles. Yeah, he gave up the ball a lot.
He gave up the ball quite a bit.
I don't know why that came to my mind.
Well, it's also like he didn't really win a Super Bowl, you know? Like he kind of needed to win a Super Bowl.
Is Curtis Enos on that list?
No. There's one really obvious one of like a recent player that retired, and he's just coming in at number 10. I think he should actually be a little bit higher. The second LT.
Oh.
I mean,
yeah,
right, LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah, of course, his statistics are crazy. You know that for a small back, he did really, really well.
We'll get back to that. How about some top wide receivers of all time?
Top wide receivers, go with. I mean, obviously,
I'm gonna
Jerry
have
Rice.
To ask you to go ahead and just move closer to the mic, just to just kind of whisper and let people know that you're here in a soft way.
Yeah, Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice.
Art boom. Monk.
Number one. Art Monk, not on the list.
Really?
Not in the top 10. One guy, one former Seahawk, is on the list. Not even sure if he's...
Steve Largent.
Steve Largent is... He's on the
Fred
list.
Fred Biletnikoff.
Nope. Oh, no, wait, he
Fred
is?
Fred Biletnikoff's got to be.
He's on there. He's coming in at number 7. Couple current players.
Yeah, T.O. You gotta say T.O.
T.O. not listed.
I know, he's a maniac, but...
A little bit unfair.
I mean, he's a ridiculous talent.
Randy Moss. His stats wise, like he's, I think he's well above like a Michael Irvin who's on the list.
Michael Irvin was unbelievable though. Randy Moss.
Randy Moss, number 2, of course.
Yep. Chris Carter.
Chris Carter not on the list.
Well, all he does is catch touchdowns.
Yep. Probably another Super Bowl thing, just not getting that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He's a decent analyst. He has some interesting things to say about the bounty scandal, which was honestly killing me during the offseason. So, all right, guys. Sammy's got to head out of here.
Got to go to work / gamble.
Work / gamble, but some nice little tidbits. Any final bet that you love tomorrow?
I think the Packers at home playing the Jacksonville Jaguars with basically nobody and Blaine Gabbert hurt. The spread is 14. I know it's very high. But that's one of the, and I don't like to bet very high spreads like that in the NFL because it is the NFL and there's a lot of parity. But they really, Maurice Jones-Drew is out. They basically have nothing. I think that the Packers will win that game by about 25.
Yeah, they're rolling right now.
Yeah.
All right, with that, guys, take note. Kind of interesting spread there, but that's our last little tidbit. We're going to go to a commercial break, an actual physical video commercial, and then I'm going to come back with Jay Devlin. No 3 at the end of his name. Thanks, guys. Hey, guys. Hope you enjoyed that commercial with Greg Jennings in which he does push-ups with a jet ski on his back. Apparently, that hurt him for the rest of the season because he was so excited about endorsements, he forgot about
Randall
football.
Randall Cobb
is the guy. He's the big waiver wire pickup. I have Jay Devlin, not the third, with me. He is back from the dead.
It's good to be back. I feel like Sammy was my Demi Lovato to my Justin Bieber. It's good to have a nice opening act for our older fans. Maybe he was REO Speedwagon and I'm the Rolling Stones.
The bottom line is everyone knows the back nine's better because once you get to the 19th hole, that's the clubhouse and that's where you drink.
That is, hey.
You've been playing tons of golf, right? That's
tons
the story.
Of golf, about 60 holes a week, making it happen out
there.
That's
impressive. And do you know who's better at golf, Tom Brady or Tony Romo?
Sadly, it's probably Tony Romo, but Tom Brady is an exponentially better dresser. Tony Romo has tried to qualify for multiple U.S. Opens.
Because of the Uggs, he's a better dresser.
He's just Tom Brady. He's cooler. He's way more of a pussy now because he doesn't even try to scramble. He just kind of falls over. Yeah, he's turned into Peyton Manning almost. Like, if he gets 3 or 4 steps outside the pocket, he looks so ridiculously immobile that it's sad to me.
I just appreciate the fact that in the Seahawks-Patriots game where he literally, instead of taking a sack, he just got intentional grounding penalties, like no other. Just like throwing it at the feet of linemen. And the lineman was like, oh, I don't think I was open.
I love Tom Brady. We know this. I worship at the altar. But he has definitely gotten happy feet, Peyton Manning style. As you know, ever since that knee injury,
Peyton Manning actually does foot fire in the pocket as if he was like an aggressive Bruce Bowen defender, where he's literally like doing the 8th grade drill where you're like just peppering your feet on the ground. Like, his feet are so excited, even when he's playing in Denver now, that he's literally, like, dancing back there. So he's going to be the next Dancing with the Stars champion, I think.
I agree, but at the same time, you have to... All those people out there that doubted Peyton Manning. This is probably a topic for 15 or 20 minutes deep into our podcast, but I can't wait to get started.
Right.
The people that fucking doubted him, I'm telling you, it fires me up. Just on whether he would
be
good or not.
His nerve endings in his neck?
Yeah, whether it would be good or not. When has Peyton Manning ever not been good at football? Never. He's always been good. He left a team that made the playoffs. They won, what, 2 games? 1 game? How many games did they win? 1 or 2
games?
They
actually -1 games.
They won -1. They were -1 and 7 and 26, whatever. With the same team except him. He goes to Denver. He's been incredible.
Dude, you have to admit, though, Curtis Painter had a great fantasy year last year.
Curtis Painter was sneaky good if you were in like a...
He actually took Kurt Warner's spot at the grocery store where he's now bagging groceries.
In my 37-team fantasy league, Curtis Painter was very, very valuable.
Odd number fantasy team. Yes. I don't even think they allow that in most
leagues. Exactly.
It's good to have you back, Jay.
It's good to be back.
You look exactly the same. You're actually a little bit taller.
You know.
I don't know if you're a baller with that song, Shotgun Caller.
I think it's my hair. Yeah. My hair's a little taller.
Yeah, you are balding a little bit, though. I'm not going to lie.
As I get older and shrinking, I try and...
We have so much to cover. We've always talked about how there's not enough time on the podcast, even though we can record ourselves until we're blue in the face. We have a lot to cover. One thing that I want to bring up is the fact that not enough announcers. This is just a total tangent. It has nothing to do with anything aside from the fact that when you are an analyst, you talk about establishing the run. Yeah. I just don't understand why no one's ever establishing the pass.
I don't agree with that at all.
Well, how come no one ever says that? Why aren't you establishing? I mean, if you're going to establish something, why not establish the pass?
Well, I think you have to look at the makeup of who is announcing games, right? It's almost like a Malcolm Gladwell outliers type thing where, you know, retired players who are analyzing games now are guys who were raised in a system of run the ball first and play defense.
Okay.
In 15 years, it'll be retired players who grew up in an NFL where it was pass, 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 pass.
All right, so let me ask you this.
You get fucking Tony Siragusa over there. What's he going to say?
Oh, yeah.
What's he know about, like, any kind of
spread
offense?
He's going to talk about blocking schemes, zone blocking schemes. So, talking about best broadcaster, I want you to get this. You have one chance at it. Based on SI and several football analysis analysts, who is the best broadcaster in the NFL?
The best in what way? Play-by-play, color, what?
No, just based on SI as a source. Just answer the question.
Well, in my mind, it's Al Michaels, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
But okay, he's number three.
All right, Chris Collinsworth.
He's number one.
There you go. I mean, those guys are incredible.
Who's number two?
Retired. Gruden.
No, he's retired now.
Retired player?
Retired analyst or commentator, broadcaster. John Madden.
Madden's great. But, I mean, Collinsworth and Michaels are playing chess when everybody else is playing checkers.
Dude, that's like the Wire reference.
Yeah. I've never seen that show.
I know. I'm just saying that, like, there's some parallels there.
But, you know, those guys call it how it is. Like, Al Michaels just in general is amazing. If you've never listened to him on any podcast or interview, Bill Simmons has interviewed him a couple times. And he is very candid about his experiences with athletes and his career, and it really is like...
Collinsworth is, too. He's, like, adamant about it. Like, he actually, he says what he'll be like, wow, I can't believe that was an offense and pass interference. He's not afraid of the refs or getting fined. Or I don't know. Some of these guys are, apparently. He says what he thinks, and that's what people like. They want the truth.
I'll tell you what. I mean, here's the thing about, like, gambling. We always bring a little gambling into this stuff.
Of course. Gambling's part of guys' lives. Our assumption is guys are listening to us.
Yeah. I mean,
at this point, like, no one's this deep into a podcast. And, like, I mean, you know, there can be some light, like, girl-watching enthusiasts of the male-dominated sports world. But let's be honest. Like, at this point, this deep in the podcast, whole 14.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that the knowledge that, like, Gruden and Tirico and Collinsworth and Michaels, what they get from these teams, like, with all their pre-interviews and whatnot, should be made entirely available to the betting public. Because that Packer-Texan game the other day.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
When the Packers just came out and rolled them.
Right. Like, and then Houston came back. Flipped it on everyone's head and just destroyed.
Was it the Monday or the Sunday night game? It's the Monday night game.
They just, like, destroyed Baltimore.
That was the Sunday night game.
Right.
Yeah, with Michaels and
I'm just saying, they got beat up and Packers killed them and then they came back and destroyed Baltimore.
Oh, no, but I'm just talking about, like, the things they learned. Because that was a Sunday night game. So, you know, they come out, Packers score first drive, and all of a sudden you hear Collinsworth and Michaels go, oh, yeah, when we interviewed Aaron Rodgers yesterday, he said that this team we're playing actually thinks they're the favorite. They really don't. They know they're the underdog tonight. They know we're the best team. And Aaron Rodgers came out and absolutely fuck-you'd them and played out of his mind like he always plays. And they just rolled them. And I was sitting there and I was listening and I was like, God, I wish I knew that Aaron Rodgers was showing up with that mindset and that he has that now. St. Louis, he did it again this last week. He was great. I mean,
all you need to know, yeah, I didn't pick up Randall Cobb and I played Demaryius Moore and I snuck a win in fantasy. And then, of course, everyone bid on Randall Cobb, and I didn't get him. I sat there and stared at Randall Cobb and Demaryius Moore forever, and I was just like, seriously, Cobb is having that kind of game? But, like, I read in a Men's Health magazine, they were talking about his workout regimen and the things that Aaron Rodgers does. He runs around a tire, toe-tapping it, while catching tennis balls and then throwing them against targets on a wall and hitting the targets. And it's like his trainer is actually trying to come up with stuff that actually challenges him. Like, we're talking like mini targets. Like, we're not talking about footballs. We're talking about he's bouncing them off targets while running around a tire and then catching the same ball, and he's throwing some of them behind his back. Like, that's how accurate he is with the football.
I mean, that's the history of these guys. Like, I would love to see a study done of these of the athletes in any sport or any draft that were the ones left in the draft room. I mean, we've all remember the Aaron Rodgers being stuck, waiting to get picked, waiting to, like, he was supposed to be like a 13th, 14th pick.
Right. He was like 20. Late first round.
To the Packers.
And he was chip on his shoulder, like,
yeah. Yeah, showed up. We got a little chip on our shoulder for sure.
Yeah. A lot of the Seattle DBs have a chip on their shoulder and let Tom Brady know.
They definitely let Tom Brady know. But I imagine all those guys that were stuck in the draft room come out, and they work a lot hard to give people the big fuck you.
You need motivation, you know. Even like Mel Kiper and like
that's what pro sports is, bro.
Look at I'm not to make this about the Seahawks, which I try to do sometimes. Like Bruce Irwin, like people were like, that guy, that's a reach, nonstop, just Seattle getting hammered on that. It's like, look at his numbers as far as like sacks go. Like, that guy is just another, like, he's basically another Clay Matthews, right? With long hair, he's a specialist. He's going to do one thing.
I'm sorry, but wasn't Clay Matthews the defensive player of the year in the NFL? If you can draft another Clay Matthews.
That's what I'm saying, though. Yeah. But like, you want to, like sometimes you just want a Dwight Freeney. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to stop the run. You want someone that can just hit the edge, bull rush, do, like, three things.
Isn't that what the NFL is, though? Specialists. I mean, you have 11 guys on the field that specialize in doing so. It's not like the NBA where there's five guys out there that have to do multiple things.
That's my point,
though.
The
NFL is the ultimate specialist league.
My point would be, like, if the Patriots drafted Bruce Irwin at 15 overall, like, they'd be like, genius move by Belichick. Like, you know, the Seahawks do it. It's like, kind of a reach. Like, who is that guy? You know, and I didn't even know who he was. I was like, seriously? But, like, who are the Copels and all these other guys? Where are they right now?
Well, no, I agree with you 100%. I mean, it's definitely like, you know, certain guys get away with things that other guys can't.
But we know Mel Kiper's paid also.
But I think where he got ridiculed slightly was not necessarily about drafting him. It was about his value as a player. Like, yeah, you spent that draft pick at him at what? Where'd they get him?
15 overall.
15 overall. Why don't you trade back to like 25 or 26? Because
you wouldn't have got him. Well, no, the Jets said they were going to take him with the next pick.
Oh, okay. Well, then there you go. I mean, I think that's where people were. They didn't expect him to get picked. Yeah, for sure. Well, and the Jets are an extremely intelligent organization, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, Tim Tebow.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you pick that guy, you don't even play him.
I mean, I think the Jets look at someone like, you know, I don't know, like Tim Tebow. I liken him to, like, he's like the Peyton Hillis of running backs, but for quarterbacks. It's like he had the one good year, he kind of did something good, and you just feel like he's going to fade out, you know, fade to black. Not like literally black, because he's white, why do I always go racial?
Oh, no, I'm so glad you said that, because the league last week's episode was all...
Don't spoil it for me. I've only watched the first one.
Oh, come on. I got to talk about, like, white-on-white crime. Like, white guys don't want to draft other white guys.
Oh, right?
I don't want to draft a white running back. So they have, like, a huge, like, conversation about that. Like, white-on-white crime. They go to a sushi bar.
Yeah.
And there's a white guy making them sushi. And they feel like, no, white guys can't make them sushi. And it's Timothy Oliphant.
Nice.
Fucking great cameo by Timothy Oliphant.
I have not seen that episode. Yeah. I forgot that I have that show recorded. But, like, honestly, Jay just got excited.
Interception, right. Alabama. Alabama, ATM machine. Kids out there, if you're listening, you want to pay for college. Parents, if you want to pay for your drug problem.
Wait, what
Alabama, are these? What first are... half, and for the game, every fucking week, and you will be able to retire in Boca Raton, eating at Hooters every night. Oh, breaking news. Thunder trade James Harden, Daquan Cook, Lazar Haywood for Kevin Martin, Jeremy Lamb, and future draft picks.
Jeremy Lamb.
Holy shit. James Harden just got traded. All right. Changing topics completely.
You know why?
What are the Oklahoma City Thunder doing?
You know why they did that? Chukwuemeka, right? It's Lewis and Clark. It's Chokojua. He choked in the playoffs. Let's be honest.
Oh my God, he was young. They'd first. You're breaking. This goes against everything I believe. It's all about championships are very hard to win. Yes or no? Yes or no? You've been fucking lamenting about the Seahawks in the Super Bowl.
We'll get back. Pittsburgh, we'll get back there
for like what 30 years now. Oklahoma City has a chance to fucking win 65 games this year and win the NBA title. Yeah, you might lose James Harden at the end of the year.
Again, we brought this up earlier with Sammy. They're Mike Martzing themselves. They're overthinking it.
Who I invented the Mike Martz term, by the way.
I know. That's what I said. We sourced you earlier. Okay. We're like, when you're overthinking a decision, it's because you're Mike Martzing yourself into like, oh, this makes sense, but like then they think this, and then maybe we should do this, and that's Counter-Strike. They're probably like thinking about, oh, the Lakers got Dwight Howard, so we have to do X, Y, and Z, and then they do that.
The Lakers are not going to win 55 games. But
well, whatever. The Lakers are annoying, and we can talk about how the fact that you can't watch them because of the Time Warner deal. But I don't want to watch them because I don't like them, and I fucking hate them.
I think that's an egregiously horrendous move. Yeah, you have a great team. Yeah, you have Durant and Westbrook, and you just locked up...
Who's Jeremy Lamb? I know Jeremy Lamb's
out of UConn. Jeremy Lamb is a great player. He looks like he's stoned half the time.
He's like the new Sam Perkins?
He is, but he's very good. He's like a 6'6", 6'7". I saw him out. I went out to Vegas Summer League this year, watched him play. He was great.
You had a nice interaction with anybody would know?
Dude, Ernie Grunfeld, Rich Cho, Spoelstra.
Spoelstra, would you go watch some game tape with Spoelstra? Dude, in the back room?
Any basketball fan, if you don't go out to NBA Summer League in Vegas, you are not a bad. It's a must-see bucket list event. Incredible. That's for another podcast. But here's my point, my rant. This follows all sports. It crosses all of them.
If you have a chance, Jay is enveloping the microphone.
I'm Italian. My hands.
It's almost like if he's trying to bring Pluto back into our universe.
People are so busy trying to create dynasties. How many dynasties can you fucking think of in your head that have actually happened? You get the Cowboys, you get the Islanders, you got...
We'll give the Pats a dynasty.
Yeah, whatever. You win a couple of years, you want to be good, blah, blah, blah. But just winning a championship is amazing. I mean, that's what the holy grail is in sports.
You can check that off your list. If you're a local sports fan, like, that's my team. We won one. I feel good about it. I can put it to rest. Like, the Red Sox, people that, you know, obviously, they came back. We talked about this earlier with Sammy. Like, they can sleep at night now because they came back for, you know, 4-0.
The Red Sox have an amnesty. They can, like, you know, you can have a couple bad years. You can, like, you have some lean years. And baseball is different because you can just go spend money. Yeah, basketball.
I hate that. When are they going to change that? When are they going to change the cap rule? I mean, like, seriously, just buy your team. It's so dumb. It makes me mad.
I disagree because, Boston didn't make the playoffs. The Yankees got swept by the Tigers.
Whatever.
You can do the Moneyball thing,
but honestly, it
you still got to be
smart. You don't
get
the parity, though, right? The week-by-week parity, like, you just don't get it.
You still got to be smart. But my point is...
You got to be smart, but if you don't have someone smart, then you're not... Like, you can't compensate with money. You can't... I mean, because if you don't... If your owner won't spend the money, they just won't.
Well, it's like the... I mean, in the NBA, you can spend money. You can go over the luxury... You can go over the salary cap, but then you have to pay a luxury tax.
Right. So there's like a lot of economics involved in it.
A team like the Brooklyn Nets...
Right.
With you know, Mikhail Prokhorov, who we've talked about a lot on this...
Ad nauseum. With his machine
guns.
Does
not give a shit about the luxury tax. And he'll just keep going over it and just paying the luxury tax.
Hard working, bad at math.
Sam Presti, the GM of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Fuck the fucking Thunder.
Genius.
I don't want to talk about the Thunder.
Those are the Blue Sonics. They are. I know. Well,
We're going to steal a team back.
You are.
We're going to take the Kings.
Seattle will have a team within 5 years.
We're going to take the Kings.
Kings would be a good team to have because DeMarcus Cousins is great. But this is going to be the trade, I'm telling you, that turned Sam Presti's career. I'm saying it right here. I mean, that was a terrible fucking trade.
And you just saw that hot off the wire.
Go win a title first. You gotta win it. You can't fuck with the nucleus like that with James Harden, Serge Ibaka, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant,
Westbrook, a beast.
Dude, that trade bothers me a great deal.
Yeah,
anyway.
You can't find role players like that. And yeah, he choked in a couple games, but like you still need him to get through the season and get that one seed or two seed. You know what I mean?
I feel like we're on 49 minutes. Have we even talked about anything?
No, we haven't. We haven't really talked about much of anything. We talked about a lot, though.
I gotta go to work in like 20 minutes.
That's fine. I mean, we can hashtag
still slanging this. Margaritas. Everybody out there, if you make it to Southern California, Cabo Cantina, 3rd Street Promenade, our sponsor tonight.
That's right. No, they're not
our buy sponsor. Buy one, get 15 free if you mention the Sports Foul Mouths podcast.
That's right. Honestly, don't feel constricted by the amount of time that's left on the. This isn't 24. Like, you don't have to feel like the episode's winding down. I always get that nervous energy when I watch 24, where I was like, there's not much.
That was part of the greatness of the show. That you knew something was crazy was going to happen.
Well, that's. I want to bring.
What's this your up. Show? What do you want? Give me two shows you're watching right now.
Two shows. Definitely the league. Once I catch up.
All right. Two new shows. Give me something groundbreaking. Don't regurgitate the old same old bullshit. Something I'm going to give you one. Revolution on NBC. Yeah, great show.
All right. You're promoting Revolution. I'm a big fan of Person of Interest. Jim Caviezel, local guy, Seattle, Mount Vernon.
It's always fucking Seattle with you,
bro. Whatever, dude. I mean, listen, the guy plays basketball. Jim Caviezel's brother is actually better at basketball than him.
Eddie Vedder is playing a fucking five-song set over at Dakota tonight, fucking acoustic, bro. It's going to be sick. He's going to have a flannel on. He's going to have a cup of coffee. He's going to throw a fish at people. Why don't you go over there? Do your thing. Put your fucking Ken Griffey number 24 jersey on.
Wow. Dude. Not even fair. Honestly, not even fair.
It's too much. It's too much too soon.
All right, let's get a little bit into fantasy football.
Revolution, watch that show. Very good.
Can we talk about, instead of talking
in
about...
Nashville.
Instead of talking, whatever. Your programming is your programming, right? Like, you like The Voice and all that bullshit.
Great show.
Well, Brett Favre, Wrangler. Like, give it up, son. honestly,
let's talk about the NFL Sunday NFL countdown commercial.
No one watches
they have
the NFL.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people up there.
I think those were holograms, actually. Yeah. Those were Tupac holograms. Honestly, fantasy football, you know, in the league that you created, that I have been destroying people, most points and everything.
Until
you beat me with Randall Cobb. Randall Corn on the Cobb.
Jennings out for a while.
Right, right. And then you just bidding for Rashad Jennings as if he was like the next coming of Tim Tebow in the running back format.
But you know how I feel about that. I mean, that my
philosophy. He's going to get the rock. He's going to get the rock.
You get $500 to bid on free agents. People hoard that money like they're acorns and you're a fucking squirrel. Like, what are you saving that money for? Buy somebody.
Next season. Does it roll over? Like, the rollover minutes?
Yeah, they're absolutely rollover.
I actually, for $31, I picked up Hardesty. I can't even say his first name.
Montario Hardesty. I had him a couple years ago. He's actually one of those guys. He's Moeldy Moore. He's Moeldy Moore. He's Tashid Choice. Tashard Choice. He's one of these guys that shows up 3 or 4 games and does like a little 3 or 4 game like audition window and murders it.
Right.
Falls into obscurity.
Can I rattle off some amazing fantasy ghosts of fantasy football past for you? Not the movie. I know that's the McConaughey movie, but Antonio Freeman, Shannon Sharp, Wayne Corbett, Tyrone Calico, Deuce McAllister, Joey Galloway, Lavernius Coles, Jake the Snake, who people forgot about. Jeff Garcia? I don't know if he did anything. Ron Dane, week 16.
Jeff Garcia was solid.
Quentin Ganther lost me a fantasy championship.
With the Redskins.
Yeah. In the week 16, a couple swings passes, I lost the championship on that. Mike Allstott, hard to predict, right? He was a vulture. He was the original vulture. You know, they talk about
total. Hootie Vulture, though.
Hootie Vulture? Work done.
That's well done.
Yeah, that's well done.
I know, that was like a layup for you.
But yeah, it was. Julius Jones, not Julio Jones, not to be confused with Julius Jones.
Julius Jones won me a nice fantasy game, Seattle versus Dallas on a Monday night.
Sure it wasn't Thanksgiving Day? No.
I think it was a Monday
night. Wait, was he playing for Dallas?
He was playing for Seattle.
He was? Really?
Yeah, I think it was like a huge game. He went nuts. You should know this.
Seattle. He had one good game for Seattle. I also want to think about like... guys that have been on the cover of fantasy magazines. So I always picture this split screen of Amon Green and Sean Alexander when they both had like an amazing year. So Green Bay, and ironically, like we traded Amon Green and then we drafted Sean Alexander the next year. Like those two guys just crossed up on the cover of a fantasy magazine. Aaron McNair, Peyton Manning, right? Co-MVPs. Rest in peace, my son.
Icky Woods.
Oh, yeah. Icky the Shuffle. Cordell Stewart, one good year. I mean, a lot of guys had one good year, right? Or they had a good week, and they got played. So
but that's the beautiful thing about everybody. anybody that plays fantasy football has
Deshaun Foster.
Deshaun Foster. Remember that Carolina.
Guy? How about Corey Dillon as a Patriot? Or as a Bengal?
Yeah, incredible. I mean, we all have those dudes like that had like one crazy wild week.
Brian Westbrook.
Well, Brian Westbrook was very good.
One year, though, he was like my Charlie Garner. Yeah, he was my Charlie Garner. Charlie Garner, as an Oakland Raider, one year had 1,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards pass catching.
And it doesn't even have to be an entire year. To be a guy that just had one or two good weeks that kind of took you here. He beat you or he got you to the play. Like, everybody's got, like, those dudes they hold near and dear to their heart, but it cracks me up because the next year when you go into the draft, you're always biased towards those guys. You think, oh, yeah, they got me here.
Right.
Oh, this guy fucked me. I need to get him.
But that was my new thing this year, and that's part of the reason why I'm in a lot of fantasy leagues, and I'll cut it down next year. My goal was to own every single guy so I can actually pay attention to every guy. And so I'll watch them play football and analyze them versus like just hating on guys to want them to lose. So whatever. You get it.
No, I do get it. I love it. That's the beautiful thing about fantasy football. I mean, it's in a way it's ruined football because now allegiance is, you know, not really.
Well, I'll never forget the guy that wore the Deuce McAllister jersey in New York where, like, I came up to him. I'm like, hey, you know, hey, I mean, I probably called him Deuce. I'm like, hey, you going to get me a couple touchdowns today? And he's like, what are you talking about? This is like 5-6 years ago before fantasy was prevalent, you know, in everyone's mind. He was not happy. He was like, I'm a Saints fan. Like, that fantasy shit is bullshit. He was pissed. And he wanted to fight me.
He's homeless now, by the way, and panhandling on the French Quarter.
Yeah, he had to sell that right. Deuce McAllister jersey.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to get with the times. I mean, you know, it's the world we live in.
6 years ago, guys were playing fantasy and some were like against it. Like, no, I'm rooting for my team, and I was, you know, and
yeah, but they didn't mean it though. They didn't mean it because
they
you know
did.
Why?
They did 10 years ago.
They did and they didn't. I mean,
trust
they
me,
were playing,
I watched
in
Oakland.
$10 league then. If they were playing in a $100 league, $200 league,
they weren't playing in a league. They weren't playing in a league. Guys needed convincing. 7-8 years ago to play in a fantasy league.
I thought you were talking about guys that were in a league and then were like still like, oh no, I still root for my team because they were fantasy.
No, some guys just refused to be a part of fantasy football. And Matthew Berry and all these guys, like, now it's just like there's shows.
Because I got news for you. You will always root for yourself over anything else.
That's it.
It is. It's just the way the fucking world works. Like if you have a fantasy football team and you created it, that's your fucking child. Yeah. That's your baby. It supersedes 30 years of allegiance to the Eagles or the Seahawks or anything. Your team is now everything that you believe in life.
That's very
true.
You can
say whatever you want.
And, you know, and you can go into, like, you know, the team names and everyone, like, just saw personal, I guess. But sometimes it didn't even get that personal.
I didn't even name my team in one of my leagues. I'm still Team Devlin.
Well, that's just who you are, man. Maybe
you
that's just, like, a self-righteous move, you know?
Yeah, you know
like, you're more like a Pulp Fiction type of player,
I
want to right?
act like I've been there before.
Like, you think Samuel Jackson and John Travolta would name their team anything beyond Samuel Jackson and John Travolta?
Fuck no.
No, they just would be like, I'm Samuel Jackson.
Motherfucker.
Right, exactly. And they'd pull out a gat, and then, you know, maybe they die later.
He was terrible in Avengers, by the way. All right, I got to get to work. So let's wrap this up, man. What this podcast tells me is that we have not done this in a long time, and we have like 39 consecutive hours of content that we could probably keep doing.
Yeah, we could literally run this
into... Because we talked for a good hour and a half before this and felt like we should have had the mic running.
Right. So the point is, we're winding down. You know, like I say, the clock is ticking as we approach legitimately 1 hour. We're approaching the 18th hole slowly but surely. Anything else that you just want to get off your chest?
It's good to be back, man. Enjoy it. We've been talking about doing this for a long time.
So you're kind of like Peyton Manning.
Yeah, dude, I'm Peyton Manning. I was out. I was getting some surgeries, you know.
Jay has had consecutive...
I'm not aging, and it's upsetting me. So I had, like, wrinkle surgery to give me some, like,
curly feet. No, he had, like, lockjaw surgery because obviously he couldn't talk. That's why we didn't do any podcasts. Yes. All right, the jokes are drying up. The well is drying up. Jay needs to go do some actual work, and I'm going to go ahead and close this up. No last words. Thanks, guys. And anyone else out there listening, we're going to send the link out. Hopefully you enjoy. Had a good time. We'll see you, not next week. We won't see
you when we see you.
Yeah, exactly. God bless. Until next time.